Do you want to hear a little secret known to priests that most lay people are unaware of? You don't learn how to be a priest in the seminary. Don't you want to know where you learn? You learn in the parishes. And the teachers are not the theology professors, but the lay people. And I remember one of the great lessons that I was taught in my first pastorate in a little place called St. John's, Arizona, which is not the one down by Tucson, but the one up in northeastern Arizona. I had one of my parishioners tell me one time, "Father, if you ever ask for volunteers, don't expect me to volunteer, because I won't know if you really want me. But if you ask me to do something, I'll move heaven and earth in order to do it for you, because then I'll know you really want me." And I thought, that makes it a little hard on the priest, having to go around and individually ask everybody in the parish for something. But there's a lot of wisdom in that. And in a sense, it is exactly the reverse of what the good Lord tells us in the gospel today. Because in the gospel, Jesus says, after telling us of the Father's love for us and his command that we love one another, he says, and this is something we all need to hear, "It was not you who chose me. It was I who chose you." You know, so many times we think that it's sort of up to us, and somehow there are Catholics who think that they're doing God a great favor by coming to church on Sunday. You know, that's not the name of the game at all. Because God is the one who has chosen us, who has called each and every one of us by name, and who has chosen us for a specific purpose. In other words, on this Sunday, we reflect on another of the great gifts of the risen Lord to us. And that is that each and every one of us has a purpose in our lives. Each and every one of us has a meaning to our lives. Each and every one of us is specifically handcrafted and chosen by God and called into this world at exactly the time the Lord wants us in this world, in exactly the situation he wants to place us into, for a specific purpose. And that purpose is somehow, in some way, to reflect God's love. And here we go again with that word love. Don't you get sick of hearing that? Love, love, love. Especially when we don't even know what it means. You know, love is one of the most overused words in the language, isn't it? I love potato chips. I love sushi. I love my dog. I love my car. I love my mother. I love my wife. I love my children. And I love God. Oh, yeah, and I also love strawberries. We use the same word for all of those things. What does it mean? Jesus tells us that the command he gives us is that we love one another. Now, that's interesting. He doesn't tell us we have to like one another. He doesn't tell us that. He says, in another place, he says, love your enemies. Isn't that interesting? Because he doesn't tell us, don't have enemies. He never says, don't have enemies. He says, given the fact you're going to have enemies, what is your attitude toward them to be? Now, practically speaking, what is an enemy? An enemy is any person with whom, at any given moment, I do not have a peaceful relationship. Sometimes it can be my spouse. Sometimes it can be my children. Sometimes it can be my parents. Sometimes it can be, and it goes on and on. In other words, our Lord understood that there will be disruptions in human relationships. There are hurt feelings. There is misunderstanding. And one of the greatest pastimes we all have, or we can tend to have, is this. You know what that is? We love to lick our wounds. Oh, poor me. Those people are so mean to me. If only they would change, my life would be perfectly happy. So when Jesus tells us to love one another, when he tells us to love our enemies, what is he saying? That I have to go up and throw my arms around everybody who walks on the face of the earth and tell them, oh, I really love you? No, he doesn't mean that at all. Christian love means this, that regardless of how I feel towards somebody, that I will treat them with respect, that I will never do anything or say anything or wish anything to harm them, regardless of how I feel about them. And then, where the rubber meets the road, the whole point of the parable of the Good Samaritan. If that person is in need and I can realistically help them, I am willing to do that, regardless of whether I like them or whether I don't like them, regardless of whether I know them or whether I don't know them. The Good Samaritan did not know the man who was beset upon by robbers. What he did know is there was another human being in need whom I can help. And he stopped to help him. So this command of love is something that embraces all of us. To respect, to wish the best, and to help in need. Not cater to somebody's wishes. That's not true love. Catering is not the same thing as loving, because love always addresses a person's needs. There's a lot of times, for example, when parents do not do what their children would like them to do. I love to be in a grocery store and watch a poor woman beset by her three children who want to buy everything in the store. And she has to keep saying, no, 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 put that back, don't touch that, put it down. No. Why? Because she doesn't care about her kids? Just the opposite. She's concerned about what they need, not what they want. So many times when we pray to God, what form does our prayer take? We have the prayer of the gimmies. Give me this, give me that, give me the other thing, give me what I want. We always talk to God most of the time in terms of what we want. God turns a deaf ear to what we want, just like a mother in a grocery store turns a deaf ear to what her kids want. God is concerned with our needs. And so we must be to one another concerned with our needs. Now, why is all of this so important? Why is it so important that we love, that we respect, that we be willing to go out of our way to help another person, and ultimately, if called upon, willing to even lay down our lives for another person? Why is that so important? Because, dear friends, in case you haven't noticed, we live in a miserable world. We live in a world touched with pain, with injustice, with sorrow, with needless waste of the most precious commodity on the face of this earth, human lives. The century that we just left behind, the 20th century, the most glorious century in the progress of human science, the most glorious century in the progress of human technology. And what happened? We used our science We use our technology, and we're still doing it, to hurt other people. More innocent people lost their lives in the 20th century than in all of the centuries of human history prior to it. We live in a dark, cruel, cold world. We are called, you and I, are chosen by God to be in this world, to be sources of light, to be sources of truth, to be sources of goodness, to be sources of love. And if you think that's an easy job, you're crazy. That takes all the strength that God can give us. This is why we're here today, isn't it? Why are we here? Because we're so good? Are we good because we come to church? No. We are here because we have enough sense to know how much we need God in our lives. We need God to touch our minds with his truth, to touch and strengthen our hearts with his sacraments. That's why we're here, so that we can go forth from this church and make this world just a little better place. So that when our time comes and we shuffle off this mortal coil at exactly the moment God chooses to call us, no sooner, no later, that people can look at us and say, you know what? This world was a little better place because this person lived in it. My life is a little better for having known this person. I have been touched and inspired by this person. And that's what it's all about. That we are transformed by the power of the risen Lord so that we too, in our turn, might go out and do our part to transform this world, to transpose it from savage to human, and from human to divine. Amen.